Come again tonight to the 8th chapter of Mark's Gospel. I read verses 35, 6, and 7. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the Gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Life. All of us desire life at its best. We cling to life. We strive to make life better. Every school that was ever built was built with the dream of improving the quality of life for the students who would go there to learn. Every hospital ever built was built to fight illness and disease and improve the quality and extend the length of life. We all want life. How we define life at its best. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life, that you might have it to the overflow, or that you might have it abundantly. Here in our text, he gives us some strong truths about life. First thing he said, whoever would save his life will lose it. That always seems strange to me. It just strikes my ears in an odd way. How could this be true? If I want to save my life, I'm going to lose it. Well, if we take this at the time that Jesus spoke it, and I think in the primary meaning that he had there, it was exactly and literally true in a physical sense for the people to whom Jesus spoke. The person who renounced his faith in Christ in order to save his life would lose his life in the next world when he came before the judgment seat of God. And this is still true today for anyone who makes a choice to reject Christ to escape difficulty or persecution. If you deny Christ to escape difficulty or persecution, you're going to lose life in its fullest and its eternal best. But these words also have a clear and universal meaning that goes beyond the original persecution situation. They have a permanent validity. Whoever would save his life will lose it. This truth is a cosmic truth. It's true of health. Health fussily guarded becomes hypochondria. Such a person cannot go outside on a rainy day lest they might have an accident or catch a cold or become ill. They cannot go to a restaurant for fear of food poisoning. They cannot socialize with people for fear of germs. They're guarding their lives all the time. I knew a young fellow like this back years ago when I was a youngster in college. He was afraid all the time of germs. He'd take his handkerchief out of his pocket to open a door with. He wouldn't touch the doorknob with his bare hand. He would sit in the cafeteria and polish his silverware for a good 5 minutes to be sure he got it clean before he'd begin to eat. He was so afraid of getting sick. As far as I know, he didn't get physically sick, but he lost life and mental and emotional health. But this is also true of wealth. If your primary goal in life is to become wealthy, you may succeed, but quickly, no matter how much money you have acquired, it's all gone. You don't have it anymore. It's an old story, but you've heard it, I'm sure. The wealthy man died, and people were standing around asking the question, how much did he leave? How much did he leave? and people were supposing and guessing at the value of his estate, what it might be. And finally the question was asked of a simple but profound man, how much do you think he left? And without hesitation, the person answered, everything he had. Everything he had. If you spend your whole life seeking wealth, you lose life, for you lose it all. It's also true in the area of popularity and fame, position and power. How desperate some people are to grasp for these and sometimes gain them momentarily. But how quickly they all pass away. It's profoundly true that in the surest way to lose life in its largest possibilities is to give an undue care to preserving it. One of the best preserved things in all of human history is an Egyptian mummy, but no life. The surest way of making spiritual and intellectual mummy out of yourself is to give all your attention to preserving life. It was Halford Lucker who said, we may save life by escape. Escape from burdens, from sacrifices, from conflict. But in so doing, we cannot escape from the solitary confinement of self. And in that one room cell, life in its highest potential dies. He that would save his life will lose it. But then Jesus goes on to make another statement. He said, whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. If you lose your life in service to Christ, you save it. William Barclay said, God gave us life to spend and not to keep. The very essence of life is in risking life and spending life, not in saving and hoarding it. Only those who are willing to risk all find life. Think about it. If no woman was willing to take a risk, there'd be no marriage that would ever take place. No home would ever be established. And no child would ever be born if a woman wasn't willing to take a risk. To lay down her life, in a sense. I'm sure you've heard it said that all families would be limited to a maximum of one child if men had to give birth. That may very well be true. But women are willing to take risks. This is true if a scientist was not willing to take risks. Many a medical cure, perhaps most, would never be discovered. The necessity of taking risks. The person who's always faithful to Christ may die, but he dies to live. Paul says, I die daily. I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. A person may never be a person that makes a name for themselves, may never be known, widely known. He may labor and give his life in some obscure, out-of-the-way place. And all of his sacrifice and service will soon be forgotten after his physical death. But in service and faithfulness, he's found life. And found life eternal. Would you have life? Abundant life. Eternal life. Then give yourself. Give yourself in loving service to your blessed Lord. Lose yourself for Jesus. Die to self and come alive to Christ. And you'll live all of your life in usefulness. And you can affirm with Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In Christ, we're filled with love. In Christ, we're filled with joy. In Christ, we're filled with peace. In Christ, we're filled with patience. In Christ, we're filled with goodness. In Christ, we're filled with gentleness. In Christ, we're filled with kindness. In Christ, we're filled with faithfulness. In Christ, we're filled with self-control. In Christ, we're filled with life. Life. Whoever will save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it. And then Jesus has these questions. What does it profit a person to gain the whole world and lose their soul or forfeit their life? What does it profit a person to gain the whole world and lose their life? What can a person give in return for their life? We don't usually think about it in all of our hurry and worry, but it's perfectly possible for a person to reach all their goals, gain all the things they've set their heart upon, and then they awaken one day to realize that they've lost life. It's gone. Wasted. What shall it profit a person or a couple to work and give their lives to acquiring more and more and more and more, and in the process lose the family, their marriage, their home? You may have seen it in the paper this week. It was there one day, I don't remember the day, where Millard Fuller had died. Millard Fuller went into business with a friend of his while he was a student at the University of Alabama, and had thousands of dollars in the bank when he graduated from the university, and his goal was to make $1 million by the time he was 30, and by his 30th birthday he was a millionaire. He'd done it. He had his goal acquired. He went home that day and his wife was packing up to leave. And he followed her to New York. And they sat down and talked about their life. And they decided the way to regain their life together and to regain their marriage and to regain their home was to give away everything they had. And so they did everything, $1 million worth. They gave it all away. And he may not be remembered long, but for the several hundred thousand people that are already living in Habitat for Humanity homes, he'll never be forgotten. He gained everything he wanted, but he lost everything he had until he gave away everything he had, and then he gained everything he wanted. He gained life. What does it profit a person? It can happen anywhere. I've seen young ministers whose dream was to build a great, huge church, and they did. And in the process, lost their family and wound up in divorce. What shall it profit a person, young or old, to acquire popularity and position and power, and in the process have to forsake their faith, their principles and morals, and wake up to find they're not even like the person they have become? You may not want to spend too long at it, but in the morning when you get up and brush your teeth, take just a few seconds anyway to look at the fellow in the mirror and see if you like the person that's looking back at you. Do you like the person you have become? What shall it profit anyone to choose the immediate over the permanent, the seen over the unseen, the material over the spiritual? Ultimately, what does it profit anyone to gain all the world has to offer and miss the glory Paul tried to describe in his words, Christ lives in me? To miss that is life's greatest blunder. For we know it anyway, no matter how much one has, he cannot regain his life by giving it all away that moment. No matter money can buy happiness, No amount of money can buy joy. No amount of money can buy peace. No amount of money can buy love or health or home or 1 second in heaven. Someone defined money as that which can buy you anything except happiness and take you anywhere except to heaven. History is filled with examples of the truth of this. The person we call the rich young ruler of the Scriptures went away from Jesus one day. You remember, he came to Jesus seeking eternal life. And when Jesus told him what he needed to do to gain it, he went away from Jesus. He had all that most people think they would ever need to have life and to have it to the full and to have it abundantly. He had youth. I mean, he wasn't an old man. He had power. He had position. He was an authority. He had wealth. He had it all. But he went away from Jesus sorrowful. Because every step he took away from Jesus was a step away from life and a step toward death. You probably haven't heard the name Jay Gould. He was a rich American around the turn of the 20th century. 100 years ago. Estimated wealth, $50 million. Not too much in many people's thinking today. But $50 million 100 years ago was more than a few nickels and dimes. One of the wealthiest men of his day. His own testimony about himself. His own words. He said, "I suppose I'm the most miserable devil alive." All his wealth could not buy life. Well, we see it. People with fame, people with power, people with wealth, people with popularity, many of them have become so empty that they take their own lives. No need to continue this. I think it's clear. In all of our lives, we have to make choices. We can choose to attempt to take the easy way of self-indulgence, seeking to only do what is pleasing to us and with no thought for anyone else. Or we can choose to attempt to save our lives. We can choose to attempt to save our lives in the process, completely lose our lives. If all you think about is yourself, you lose it all. If we do this, no matter what we gain in the end, we've made a bad choice. Or we can choose to live our lives for Jesus. Give them to Him in loving service. Do this, and no matter where we find ourselves, how obscure the place of service or how menial the task, we find life. We find life. Life in Christ. Life abundant. Life eternal. I hesitate to do this. We spent some time with our grandson Friday afternoon. And he asked me, "Grandpa, how did you come to know that you should go into the ministry?" And I tried to answer him best I could. I tried everything else to satisfy that hunger, that emptiness in my soul. When Adele and I got involved with the youth in our local church, we took them everywhere all over the country. Meetings and tried to satisfy something that was there. But nothing satisfied. Until one day I wasn't trying to escape work, but I crawled under my pulpwood truck out in the woods right by myself and lay there before God and said, "God, whatever you want, that's what I want. If you want me to live, let me live. If you want me to die, let me die. If you want me to preach, I'm ready to preach." As we're singing this morning, "Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I've heard you calling in the night. My mind began to wander back to some little country churches. And folks that were so patient and kind. And how God used my ignorance and my stumbling efforts. And I found life. Life that's more exciting every day. And I'd ask you tonight, I would challenge you to choose life, to take up your cross and follow Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have called us, each and every one of us, to be your disciples, to follow you. Help us to choose to follow you and to find life, life to the full, life overflowing, life abundant, life of eternity. And it's in your name that we pray.